Amen. It's good to see you all out there. It's good to see Brother Reggie in the house. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something about ministry. Ministry ain't always pretty. You walk in the church and you see folk that don't like you. You try to put your little fake smile on. You see folk that stab you in your back. You just keep on as a pastor. Look how folk don't come serve regularly. They come to do communion and Sunday school and things of that nature. You get shot all the time. But sometimes God just lets you see just your fruit. And I got emotional when I saw Brother Reggie because I done rolled up on the police, a black man. I remember God told me that he was my project. When I first met Reggie, he was playing basketball. He started talking smack to me. Some of y'all that talk smack to me know I ain't gonna shut up if you talk to me. I ain't no ordinary pastor. I ain't old enough to have learned how to put that facade on yet. So I don't know how to be fake like some seasoned Christian. And so he said, I'm going to play you in basketball. I'm going to beat you. I said, look here, if I beat you in basketball, you got to come to church. He said, well, what I get if I win? Well, you ain't going to win, but just tell me what you want. But you ain't going to win. So anyway, played him in basketball. He ended up coming to church regularly. Now I mom called me, dad thanked me. I mean, it was emotional, but I don't think it really hit me how much of an impact the church and us all together have had in his life until his dad was telling me some stories. I'm just going to tell the ones I know from myself. And I'm just looking at how, you know, he used to be, you know, I said in pharmaceutical sales without a license, if you will. And I remember I rode up on the police. And this far I was a chaplain, you know, just some black dude. Was over at, you know, on his little office over there at BP. And I said, look here, if y'all release him to me, he ain't gonna never get in trouble. And, you know, he said, you know, I ain't had nothing on me nowhere yet this time. I remember when I knew that God really could use me to help him because he was so humble. And you know me, I'm you know my mouth. I was like, Negro, take your butt in the house and don't come outside till tomorrow. He said, well, what time can I come out tomorrow? Well, I don't care what time you come out. Just stay your butt here tonight. And I just look at the thing of the gang influence and things and stuff that he got away from. And he would call me when he was in trouble and say, look here, this dude trying to fight me, and I don't want to beat him up. And remember, I think Deacon Cooler and some other people met me at the church. And I'm just looking at, man, all the backstabbing worth it when you see this right here. Amen. All the shadiness. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. All of the mess. All of the lies. See, I know. Believe me, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus. But when I say how Jesus could look out and say he loved us so much, he said the cross was worth it. The cross was worth it for our souls. That's how he looked at it. Because when you look out there and you're like, man, sometimes you just want to quit. And you see the fruit of the labor. Jesus, have mercy. I mean, he could have been one way. I remember one day I said, man, God told me you're supposed to be my project. And then, I mean, he come back 2 days later. Hey, what that mean? What you mean I'm your project? And I told him I'm supposed to look out for him. And God told me that I'm responsible for covering him in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I thank all of you for your help. I mean, he could have been selling drugs right now. He could have been in a gang right now because he was in the initiation process. He could have been on the street dead right now. Was out there at BP, and some of the folk that he knew have been gone. Come on, somebody. Ministry. Can I talk to the Sunday school worker? Can I talk to the deacon? Can I talk to the minister? Can I talk to the minister? Can I talk to the band? It don't matter how much people talk about you. Ministry is worth it when you do it in the name of Jesus. Yo, haters there to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Getting mad, I don't care. I'm talking about you, just shut up and leave me alone. Because I'm at the point now, man, I'm just saying it's worth it. Throw your daggers, throw your knives. That's how you got to be at your job. Your job is not just for a check. You're supposed to be a witness. And when hell comes at you, they looking at you. They don't read the Bible. They read you. How you going to handle it? How you gonna handle it when they come at you? How you gonna handle it when they lie on you? Are you gonna cuss them out? Or will you let God handle your battles? It's worth it. When I tell you it's worth it, I had to get it out like that because I ain't want to be all crying up here trying to preach, amen. But I'm proud of you, man. Glad you did what you're supposed to do, man. It's worth it. Yeah. You can go ahead and put your regular mean mug and face on, those who have them. And let's go ahead to our regular scheduled program. If you would, 1 Samuel. Oh, Jesus. 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. Can you clap for these kids as well? Amen. Ah, Jesus. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. Ooh, Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. And it read, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, and Samuel, Samuel, and at other times, and Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Lord, ask for your power to reside in your servant. Ask for you to continue to move in
the life of this pastor, the life of this church. Continue to purge me so that you may purge the church. Continue to lift me up so you may lift up the church in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me with my flaws and help me with my infirmities and cause me to walk more upright in you. Allow me to walk blamelessly. Allow me to be able to be a pastor above reproach in the name of Jesus. I ask for your power to reside not only in me, but in the ears of your servants, so that they may hear the word that comes from you. We love you, God, and we thank you for your divine grace and power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Again, this is our last sermon in the series of God Has Something to Say to You. God has something to say to you. And the title of this one is Listen. Listen. God has something to say to you. I guess I could just make the whole thing in one sentence. God has something to say to you. Listen. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. I don't believe it's a coincidence that his first assignment from God was to listen for God's voice. What a beautiful way to answer God. Speak, for your servant hears. Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God. I don't believe that there's a more important lesson that a parent can teach a child today than to hear the voice of God. This story of Samuel tells us that there's a difference between active listening and passive hearing. Hearing is something you do with your ears. If you hearing is normal, you can hear sounds within a certain range or distance from you and a certain spectrum of sound. Listening, however, involves the mind, and we know that we can hear sound without paying much attention to them, but you really have to be listening. Some people can sit in church and hear an entire sermon without listening to them. Genuine listening is active. It involves putting the mind in gear to hear everything that is said as it is meaningful to the listener. That's how God called us to listen to him actively. He wants our full, undivided attention. There are 10 key aspects to listening actively. One, expectantly. Expectantly. Two, quietly. Three, patiently. Four, confidently. Five, dependently. Six, openly. Seven, attentively. Eight, carefully. Nine, submissively. And 10, reverently. And I'll make sure we post that on social media if you don't have the. But we'll go over each aspect briefly in this sermon. You'll be able to have the listen in a slower way. But as you hear about each one, I encourage you to think about your life, to ask about each step. Do I do this? Is this the way I open myself to receive God's message to me? I believe that you will probably feel a certain degree of conviction about one or more of these listening characteristics, since very few of us, including myself, actively listen to God's word to us all the time. Now, if you listen to them all the time, please help me with my sermon. Consider that area that you perceive as weakness or a shortcoming and dedicate yourself to growing in it. Now first, number one, listening expectantly. If we're going to listen actively, we must come before the Lord expectantly. We must anticipate with eagerness his speaking to us. Throughout Scripture, we have the promise that God will speak to us. Jeremiah 33 records, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Our expectancy is based on the Lord's reliability. What the Lord says, he does. If he says that he will answer, he will. Our expectancy is also an indication of what our faith. If we truly believe God's promises to us, trust in God's total provision for us, and rely on God's faithfulness as our Heavenly Father, we will expect him to speak to us and act on our behalf for our good. The stronger our faith, the greater our expectancy. Do you expect to come and get a breakthrough when you hear the word? It amazes me that when I come in the door, how some people try to talk to me on Sunday morning about their problems before I get to the pulpit. That's why I kind of hide. Because my thing is, you can't look for me for an answer. You got to expect the word of God to give you an answer. You understand? You shouldn't be coming to look for the pastor or your deacon or your trustee on Sunday morning. Now, I can understand you're looking for me on Monday or Tuesday, even though you still need to be seeking God first. I can understand you're looking for your deacon on Thursday or Friday, but Sunday and Wednesday, you really need to be looking for the word of God. You need to be looking for the word all the time. But the thing about it is, do you expect God's word to deliver you? Do you expect to come to church and get a breakthrough? Do you come expecting that God can speak to your situation? Do you expect God to do something creatively and powerfully in your life? Psalm 17, 6 and 7 says, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. So you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. See, this psalmist understands that I know you hear me, God. Do you know God hears you? Two, it's hard for a lot of us. Listen quietly. Listen quietly. The Lord says to us in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. See, if we are to hear from God, we must be quiet and let him do the talking. Too many of us think of prayer only as a time of rattling off a list of requests, then getting up and going. You know how we pray? We finish, get up and leave. We pray in our car, get out and go to work. But we don't actively listen quietly and waiting on God. Quietness is essential to listening. But if we're too busy to sit in silence in his presence, if we are preoccupied with thoughts or concerns about the day, if we have filled our minds all day long with carnal inferences and aimless chatter, we are going to have difficulty truly listening to the still small voice of God. You may find that a late night morning or a late night or early morning is a time of solitude for you. You may have a walk in a park at noon. Ask God, what time can you really commune with him? Ask him to give you a time in the day or a time or moment in your life where you can just set aside 5 minutes or more just to commune with him and sit in the midst of him. Come on, somebody. See, I know we thought yoga was the first people to invent it, the meditation. I know we thought transcendental meditation was invented by other people, but God said meditate on my word day and night. So you need to find a place to just sit still in a quiet place and just meditate in the word. I ain't talking about calling on the little yoga gods. Not saying nothing wrong with yoga, but what I'm saying is meditate on his word. Find a scripture you can sit down and be still and let God download what he needs to into your spirit. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Hosea says, let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. He's going forth, is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Can you just sit still and let God speak to you? Three, you got to listen patiently. Yeah, I heard that. I feel you. Patiently. I heard that. That might be the theme for that one. Listen to him. Patiently. The Lord does not tell us some things all at once or instantaneously. Sometimes he speaks part of his message to us at one time, part at another. Sometimes we hear a message from him only after we have been waiting for a season of time. I know we want to go pray to God and say, God, I done prayed, now please give me this answer before I get up off my knees. Come on, somebody. Don't you be wanting to answer right then? Yo, we live in an instantaneous society. We want microwave dinners. Come on, somebody. We don't know how to put food in the crock pot no more. We don't know how to slow cook stuff. We don't know how to let the ingredients marinate. If you really start cooking like you used to, you understand how God cooks up your blessing. He don't want to give you a microwave blessing. He want to give you a crock pot blessing. He want to give you something in the stove. He want to let all the ingredients just marinate in the midst of it. Can you be patient?
Can you be patient and wait on him? Because he says something right now doesn't mean you're supposed to do it right now. He told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and it took 40 years on the backside of the mountain in preparation. He told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. I had to wait till they're 90 and 100 years old. Come on, somebody. That's a long time to wait on a promise. Told Abraham, go where I'm going to show you. Didn't tell him anything. How many people know that takes some patience? Some of us can't wait 40 minutes on God. They waited 40 years. Psalm 135 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. You ever just sat there and waited on the morning? Because you're somewhere on the beach or something. It take a long time. Sometimes you done fell asleep and then missed the sunrise anyhow. He said, look here, I'll wait on God like somebody waiting on the morning. That's a long time. That's patient. Are you waiting on God to bring his word to fruition, or did you get frustrated in the midst of your prayer when you walked away? What has God promised you that you've given up on? What has he promised you that you gave up on? Can you wait patiently for him? Acts 1, 4 and 2, 1 through 4 says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all on one accord in one place. And that's when the Holy Spirit came. Jesus told them to wait until I tell you where to go. You hear me? All of them waited. Wouldn't it be amazing if the entire church waited patiently on God? It's hard enough to get one or two. But everybody, all the apostles, all the disciples waited patiently on Jesus' word. He said, wait until I tell you where to go and I send you a sign. I don't know if this is my voice or if the microphone sounds different, but I swear I'm killing myself. It's probably me. I don't know. I'm just trying to preach calm and killing myself. I don't know. Number four, listening confidently. Listening confidently. Yeah, somebody been messing with my microphone settings. I can tell it. For listening confidently, we must be confident as we listen to God that we will hear what we need to hear. But see, the key is it may not be what we want to hear. That's the problem with us. We may hear God, but it may be what we don't want to hear. So we say, God ain't answered us yet. You know, God ain't answered me yet. Yes, he did. He just told you what you don't want to hear. See, sometimes we listen to God with our fists clenched because sometimes we think that when God gives us something that he won't equip us to do it, or it's something above our abilities. Yes, it may be. Why? Because God is an exceeding God. He does exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can ask, think, or imagine. You understand what I'm saying? So, but would a good parent tell a child what to do and not give them instructions on how to do it? God is a good parent. He's not going to tell you what to do and not equip you and not give you instructions. The problem is you got to sit long enough to get the instructions. Have you ever tried to put something together because you thought you just knew how to do it? I looked at the picture and I'm good, and you just start putting it together and realize you had the stuff on backwards or the wrong way because you didn't take time to read the instructions. Now, if you could mess up a little simple cabinet by not reading the instructions, how much have you messed up your life by not sitting there and waiting on God's instruction patiently and confidently? Are you waiting on God, or are you giving yourself your own answers? Are you building your own life, or are you letting your steps be ordered of the Lord in his word? Let me tell you something. I know y'all hear that commercial, and because it made me want to go watch Pinocchio. There are no strings on me, you know, because, you know, Pinocchio became a real boy and didn't have no more strings. But there's at least one string I always want on me. Come on, somebody. And that's the string with God.
God is the puppet master. Let God move you how you need to move. Don't try to be doing what it is you want to do. Let God be your puppet master. Let him order your steps in your word and understand that where he tells you to step, even though it may not look good to your finite mind, God knows exactly where you need to be. Mm-mm-mm. Confidently. You got to be able to get enough information and get sufficient information about his directives before you move. The problem is we get up frustrated at God, and a lot of times we're frustrated because we know God has told us to do something, but we didn't sit still long enough for him to tell us how to do it. You feel me? All right. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to have an abundant life. But do you have the confidence to understand that that's really what he wants? Huh? Do you really have the confidence in God and know that he really wants to bless you? Look at Psalms 37, 5 and 6. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Faith, he's saying your justice is going to come all the time. The noonday going to come, right? So as long as the noonday come, as long as 1 o'clock come, as long as 2 o'clock come, as long as the world is spinning on its axis and you're still on this side of glory, God is going to bring to fruition whatever he told you he's going to bring to fruition. I know he told you you was going to have this blessing and you ain't got it yet. Can you just sit still like Moses? Can you just sit still like Abraham? Can you be patient like Jacob? Can you wait on God to move in your life, or do you always have to have it your way? This ain't Burger King. And Burger King don't get it right all the time either. But if you just wait on God, he might not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. Oh, number 5, this is a hard one. Listening dependently. Ooh, because we got some independent folk. Huh? I'm just saying. Have you ever heard the comment, do it as your life depended on it? That's the way we're supposed to listen to God, that as if our life depends on it, because it does. Some of our lives are so messed up because we didn't listen to God. It says, oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not take it to the Lord and what? Prayer. Our lives are messed up and discombobulated because we didn't take the time to pray and wait on God. And some of us prayed, but we didn't actively listen. Some of us prayed, got up out of our chair, and left the minute we said amen, and didn't sit in his presence and wait for him to talk back. Prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. God wants to talk back to you. You ever talk to somebody you couldn't get a word in? Don't you hate talking to them? Unless you're tired and don't want to talk, no way. But you be on the phone like, oh, Jesus Christ. That's how God is sometimes. Oh, God, I mean, shut up, Jesus. So I can tell you what I want to tell you. Stop going to God in prayer, not depending on him to answer you. If you pray and just walk away, what have you really depended on? Wait on him to give you an answer. See, the problem is some of us go and tell God what we want and get up and get mad and say, God didn't answer our prayer. Well, surely he didn't, because you told him what you wanted, but that ain't what he wanted to give you. Ooh, Jesus, I'm trying to talk. The prophets only spoke what God said. Jeremiah would go weeping. See, some of y'all read Jeremiah. Y'all love my little watered-down, fiery sermons. Some of y'all get offended because you don't really want to read the word. The prophets didn't even want to go give the word that God gave them to give. But they'd rather go face a firing squad. They'd rather go face being hung or thrown in the fiery furnace. Come on, somebody. Than to not listen to God. See, if you listen to God like your life depends on it, man and woman won't influence you to do what it is you're not supposed to do. See, I need to, can I talk to some leaders? See, Saul lost his kingdom because Saul said, the people told me to do this. When you get to the point where you listen to the people more than you listen to God, you're not fit for leadership. Some of my leaders don't understand what I'm talking about. They don't want to lead. They want to see what the opinions of the people is. Now, what do you think?
Are you going to lead in the fear of God? Or are you going to punk out and lead in the fear of people? Who you depend on? People or God? Choose ye this day who you going to serve. It don't just mean idols. It means are you going to serve trying to please the people? Or are you going to serve in an attempt to please God? Serve and listen to him as if your life depended on it, because it does. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Stop worrying about the word that proceedeth out of the opinion of the person in the next cubicle with you. Stop trying to find the opinion of your cousin that don't even go to church. Stop looking for approval of the people in the hood that's still caught up in the ghetto. Get to the point where you want to listen to God, and for God I live and for God I die. You got to let them jokers know, I don't know about your house, but as for me and my house, we going to serve God. God, serve as if your life depended on it. You can't have your own agenda. You gotta have God's agenda. Problem with the church, the organized church of the 21st century, is that we want to listen to the people. We don't want to hear the voice of God because we don't want to hear what makes us uncomfortable. If you go to the weight room and you don't get uncomfortable, just don't go. If you go to the weight room and you can be in there eating Doritos and talking on the phone, just chilling. I done seen somebody in the weight room one day sleep snoring on a little ab machine. If the weight room don't get uncomfortable, you ain't doing nothing. If your life is not uncomfortable, sometimes you ain't dependent on God. You dependent on yourself. Again, let me just read the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Look at this. You can't understand God except with God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So greater is he who is in me than he who is in what? The world. Greater is him who is in me than he who is in the world. That is in you. God himself lives in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? God himself lives in you. For the sake of the people who don't know, who never heard me say this, God is like H2O. H2O can manifest itself as water, steam, or ice. Same compound, different manifestations. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lives in you. That's why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There's nothing impossible to you if you have been covered by the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. I don't care if the world is against you, if God told you to do it, it's gonna work. But you have to be totally dependent on him. See, I'll read that one later. First, let me go to number six. Number six, you got to listen openly. Openly. Which means you need to come with a slate free of your opinion. Huh? You heard me? You got to come open to receive whatever he chooses. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, to listen openly means to be willing to hear God correct us as well as comfort us. To hear him convict us as well as assure us. To hear him chastise us as well as praise us. See, some folk only want to hear happy sermons. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. But even though God said, I'll give you 100-fold in this lifetime, he said, you're going to get what? With what? Persecutions. So even in your greatest day, some hate going to be there. See, let me tell you something. If I mean, people get tired of me talking about haters and stuff, but if you ain't got no haters, you ain't doing nothing for God. You sticking with the status quo. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't successful. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't doing nothing for God. The devil ain't threatened by you. He ain't worried about nothing you doing. When you really start doing what God wants you to do, you're going to have to be open to him, because it's going to be some opposition that comes against you that's going to make you try to, just going to make you begin to form your own opinions of why you need to get out of whatever God got you in. Come on, somebody. Old school, you tell you, you can't stand the heat. You need to get up out the kitchen. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you right now, when you really just be open to God and do what God wants you to do, the devil is going to come at you. So you got to come with an open mind. Because the devil will put circumstances in your life to make sure you second guess what God told you. He tries to back you in a corner to make you form your opinion and put the walls up to hearing God tell you something clearly, because he don't want you to do what God tells you to do. Are you going to be open, or are you going to come with your own opinion? You can't be like, God, I'm going to do this, but I ain't going to do that. I didn't start pastoring until I told God whatever. I used to say, God, I'll go wherever you want, but don't send me to no small town. I can go wherever you want, but you know what? Send me to New York, Florida, or somewhere. You understand? You have to be open to God to listen with an open slate. You can't come to him giving him some old tomatoes of what you don't want. You can't come with stipulations. Come on, somebody. You can't come with a prenup. God, I'm going to do what you say, but let me line out what's going to be messed up in this marriage we call spirituality. Now, look at God. You can ask me to do this, but I ain't doing that. You're not open then. You have to be totally open to God. When you begin to bring parameters and stipulations in it, you're not totally open. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the word may not tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes it's reproof. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear. If y'all would just shoot at the deliverer and not the messenger, I'd have a happy life. You can't be like the Bronx Tale, and when the mail came to the little boy house and they told him, don't you bring no more bad grades, they told the mailman. But that ain't what we do. We don't go attack the mailman for the delivery he brought to us, because the mail was just delivered. The problem with us is we get mad at the messenger. You better leave the mailman alone and go talk to God about whatever he's trying to get right in your life. Because let me tell you something, baby, it's the reason why I sweat when I get up here. God be my black behind the same way he beat yours. Listening attentively. See, when I'm preaching, I can always look out in the congregation before me and tell who listening and who not. Who mad and who not. Some folk can't even be still. You start preaching. They can't even be still. Can't even sit forward because... When people want to hear, they listen attentively. They lean on the edge of their seat sometimes. Sometimes they taking notes because they actually want to hear what God is saying. Are you actively, attentively listening to God? Or are you just like, I don't know if I want to hear what you're saying? Are you going to be attentive? Do you come expecting to hear from God? Do you eagerly seek to hear him? Or do you want to do what you want to do? Do you go ask somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear? See, I know my deacons and my trustees. If I really want God to tell me or want to manufacture what I want to hear, you know, I know I can ask Deacon Dawson, I mean, he more than likely, he going to answer like this. If I talk to Deacon Bell, he might answer like this.
Trustee Reynolds, he gonna answer like, you know what I'm saying? And, but you can't do that because you're trying to manufacture what you want to hear. You got to go straight to God, and God will lead you to the person you know that you don't want to hear that word from. But it's only when you attentively listening instead of trying to put your own answer together. Are you paying attention? Are you actively trying to hear what God is saying? Or are you looking for your opinion in the midst of your prayer? Jeremiah 51:29 says, every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. He's going to make everything done, so attentively listen. Eight, of course you got to be attentive, but you also got to listen carefully. Huh? Can I talk to you for a minute? I'm talking already anyway, so let me just listen. Listen carefully. It's funny how people ask questions, you know they're going to do it anyway. To listen carefully means to listen for the Holy Spirit continually to confirm that the word we are hearing is a genuine word from God. We must put to the test, everything we hear. It must line up with the written word of God. It must be in keeping with the full example of the life of Christ. It must be in harmony with the way God has spoken to his people through the ages. To listen with care means that we care enough to evaluate every message we hear against the fullness of God's truth. See, that's what I understand. When people want to come to meetings and stuff, and you be like, line it up with scripture, they don't want to hear that because they don't care about scripture. What do you mean bring scripture? It's my opinion. And I don't want to hear nothing about no scripture. But when people don't want to line up with scripture, they just want to line it up with their own agenda. What is so wrong with saying, bring me a scripture with your opinion? You ain't never heard me bring nothing to you without a scripture. Whether it be a church conference, whether it be what, it's lined up in scripture. The vision is lined up in scripture. Whatever you do, if you can't line up with scripture, don't do it. If whatever you're doing don't line up with scripture, don't do it. Well, God, should I go over there? Does it line up with scripture? If not, stop asking. You already know the answer. Most of the time, we know what we're not supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Look at 3 John 4, what God says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. God wants you to listen carefully. Proverbs 16:19 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Huh? All right. Number 9. Ooh, this is going to be a hard one. Listen submissively. See, some of y'all swear you submitted to God, but if you ain't submitted to leadership, you ain't submitted to God. You can't submit to say you submit to God if you don't submit to the leadership God put in your face. How can you love me and you ain't seen me and you don't love your brother you see? That's what God asked. So how in the world can you say you submitted to God? Remember when the disciples went out 2 by 2, Jesus said, if they reject the word, they ain't rejecting you, they rejecting me. Dust your feet off and keep on walking. Now look here, listen submissively. I'm telling you because it's hard for us to submit, and we think we submitted to God and wonder why we're stuck in the same place for so long. To listen submissively means that you listen with the full intent of what? Obeying. Yes, hearing God. You know how sometimes you want to hear somebody's opinion because they're your friend and you really don't want to hear. You ain't going to do what they said, but all right, go, just tell me, okay. All right, okay, you finished? All right. I ain't asking your opinion. I ain't going to do it, but I'm listening, all right? But if you're not listening with the intent of obeying, why listen? That's how God is saying. If you plan to obey what you hear, you obviously take care to understand how the Lord wants you to do something. When you listen submissively and say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Jesus was obedient even to the cross, but he said he made it clear that he didn't want to go. See, the thing about it is you're going to always still have your opinions. You're going your desires may never go away of what you want, but the thing is, can you submit your will to God's? Jesus said, Lord, I don't want to go. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross, but not my will, your
your will be done. What in your life have you been doing that's your will that you're not doing God's will in? Stop it and submit to him and watch how he blesses your life. Submit to him. He was in Gethsemane praying, sweat like blood, didn't want to go, took his boys with him. His three top boys, they couldn't even go to the place with him. Sometimes God will call you to some areas that can't nobody go but you. Nobody can go because they won't be able to see what God is telling you. I'm sure all of them were like, Jesus, are you crazy? You're going to the cross? Not my will, Jesus said, but your will be done. If Jesus Christ himself, who is a part of the Trinity, who's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, if him himself can walk down 42 burning generations, enrobe himself in the flesh, reduce himself down to his least common denominator to walk like us and talk like us and be obedient even to the cross, if he can lay his own life down, if he could go through the pain of them plucking the hair of his beard and beating him to a bloody pulp, if he could take the crown of thorns being pressed into his cranium crack and the blood dripped in his eyes where he could barely see, if he went through all that torment and was submitted to the obedience of God, what is it that you're not listening to God about? Get it right. He thought it not robbery to sit up here and say, I know I'm God, but I'm going to be submitted to God. He said, I'm not doing anything unless my Father tell me to do it. Jesus himself, God himself, when he was enrolled as a human being, said, I don't do my will. I do my God's, my Father's will. If God didn't tell me to do it, I don't do it. If we get like that as a church, Satan won't have no room in here. The problem is we don't want to submit. We don't want to submit to God's word. We want to just find the scriptures that fit our opinion. Can you teach something that you don't want to hear? Lord knows I can. Can you teach something that you don't even want to hear yourself? Can you do something that has not lined up with your will until the church matures and we're able to lay down our opinions and submit our will to the will of God? The 21st century church will never be as powerful as it should be. You know why the church of old days was more powerful than the church today? They were all on one accord. They all waited on God. They heard God. They didn't care about none of their opinions. God said, just wait on this. And they all went to the same place at the same time because they heard the word of God. If we really submit to the word of God and stop worrying about the bylaws, stop worrying about this, stop worrying about that, and all these man-made things, the church will be so powerful that the devil won't have a toehold in it. Forget a foothold. He can't get his little pinky toe in the house if we walk in the unity and submit to the word of God. Anyway, Proverbs 35 and 6, I'm almost finished. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Look here, submit to his word. Number 10, almost there, y'all. You almost made it. Listen reverently. Reverently. A reverent heart stands in awe of God. What a privilege we have to hear from the God of the universe, the creator of all that is, seen and unseen, the almighty king, the all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal, loving father. When we listen reverently, we listen with wonder. First, that God would even speak to us, and then that God would invite us to be part of his plans and purposes. You must never take God for granted. That is, you must never assume that God exists for your pleasure and bidding. Rather, you exist to worship, serve, to be a friend of God. He is the Lord, and you are his follower. He's not supposed to answer your every beck and call. You're supposed to answer his. Problem is, we don't fear God. We don't reverence God. We look at God like he's just any old man or woman that we have an opinion.
But when you stand in awe of God, you say, God, I don't even know how in the world you even has me to deserve to preach your word. How in the world you even ask me? That's why it don't matter how many people get mad or how many people mean mug me. It's I stand in awe of God because I wonder how you even call your servant to preach this gospel. And my God, when I do a baptism, I wash my hands so much all day because how can these dirty hands baptize somebody out of oldness into newness? It's a humbling thing when you revere God. You'll be like, how do I even get to teach Sunday school? How do I get to be a deacon? If people look at it, how do I get to be a pastor? And we begin to look at a position like it's something that God has gifted us with, and we don't even deserve it. We'll serve better. But some of us think that we're supposed to get a title and just sit there and look at me. I'm a pastor now. It's a privilege to serve. The King of Kings has set you apart and called you to be a trustee or a deacon or a choir member. It's you should stand in awe of him. All of these aspects of active listening. Jesus repeatedly told the disciples, he that has an ear, let him hear. Let me go through these 10. I'm just reading this, so it ain't nothing but 10 sentences, all right? You're about ready to go. I ain't gonna hoop and holler. Active listening requires that you make these declarations in the inner spirit by faith as you listen to God. I'm gonna make sure we get this on social media as well. I'm eager to hear what you're going to say to me. That's expected. I'm listening, Lord. That's quiet. I'll wait until I hear from you. That's patient. I'm confident that you are going to tell me what I need to hear. That's confident. I depend upon you completely to tell me who I am to become, what I am to say, and what I am to do. That's dependent. I want to be open to all possibilities, Lord. Open. I'm listening keenly to every word, attentive. I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, to confirm to me that I am hearing what I am hearing is indeed from God. That's careful. Not my will or way, but yours, Lord. That's submissive. I'm in awe and thanksgiving that you would speak to me, Lord. That's reverent. When you truly listen actively, you can expect to hear from God in ways that compel you to action. You can expect God to do your life like Star Trek. He'll take you to a place that no man or woman has ever been before. Ears have not heard and eyes have not seen what God has in store for you. Will you actively listen to him and submit to his word so that he can do a powerful work in your life? Can you release your will and release your opinions and let God do what it is he wants to do in your life? Can you do that? Try it, and I promise you your life will begin to propel forward. Lord, I ask for your power and grace to reside upon these people right now in the name of Jesus. Allow us to be active listeners, be able to listen to you carefully, submissively, openly, and so on, Lord. Allow this word to digest, Lord. It's not a word to make anyone excited. It's a word to get deep down in our spirit and begin to shake our soul, to be in submission to our spirit. We want our flesh to be beaten into submission, as Paul says. We ask for your word to purge us, Lord. We ask for your word to convict us. We ask for your word to heal us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Is there one at this particular time that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one? I'm good. Is there one? Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one that says, I need a church home. I need somewhere to lay.